Welcome back to Mishnah Yomi in the Parsha. For Parshas Kisisa, we spent the week from last Shabbos learning Meseches Peah, Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph, all the way through this Friday, which is Perek Zion and ending Mishnah Gimel. There are a few points I wanted to discuss this week. First of all, one of the first Mishnayos of the week from last Shabbos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph, we learn the concept, it's a machlokes of Beis Shammai Omrim, Hefker Leniyim Hefker, that Beis Shammai say that a person can be mafker his field, that he can declare his field ownerless, and then he wouldn't be obligated in certain things you have to give, for example, Meiser, taking off 10%, and you know, there are different types of Meiser, but he would be pater from bringing Meiser, taking off Meiser, if it's Hefker. Now, if he says Hefker Leniyim, what if it's only ownerless to the poor, meaning that it's ownerless, but only the poor are able to access it? Does that count? Beis Shammai says yes. Veshil omrim eino hefker ad she yuvkar afla shirim kashmita. Beis Shammai says that no, it's if you declare it's ownerless for the poor, then that by definition is not ownerless. The only way you can make it ownerless is if it's ownerless also for the ashirim, also for the rich, kashmita, looking at shmita as the precedent. Shmita, during the sabbatical year, the produce is considered ownerless for the rich and poor alike. Rich and poor are both allowed to take produce from the field. So until it's like that, it's not considered hefker, and a person is still obligated in meiser. Now, I mean, there is one, you know, clear connection of just the Shemitah here in our parts. So we have the pasuk Sheshesimim Tavodu Ve'Yom HaShvi'i Tishbos Bechari Shuva Kotzer Tishbos. The pasuk says that from plowing and harvesting you should cease and you should rest. And there's a machlokas nechazal how to understand this, but it could be referring to Shemitah. But beyond that, I think that the equalizer point of Hillel is significant. It connects to a point in our parsha. Hillel says, no, it's not, Beis Hillel says, it's not considered hefker until it's hefker for the Ashirim as well. And we have at the beginning of our parsha, the first mitzvah of the parsha, is the mitzvah of giving the machzis a shekel. And the pasuk says explicitly, he'ashir lo yarbeh v'hadal lo yamit mimachzis a shekel, that the rich should not give more and the poor should not give less from the machzis a shekel. Now, it's the simple understanding of why that would be is that we're trying to take a census. That's part of what we're doing. It's not just a donation, it's also a census. And if somebody gives more or less, then all of the collection is meaningless, because the whole thing is we're trying to count. But the many mefarshim and Bali Moser understand this on a deeper level, that it's an equalizer. It shows that whether someone's rich or rather somebody's poor, there's a certain value that they have. It should be encouraging to the poor, to give them a little bit of a self-esteem boost, to humbling to the rich. And this equalizer can also be found in Hillel's perspective on Hefker. Things are not considered Hefker until it's Hefker for everybody. Now, you know, the lessons may be applied a little bit differently, but we do see this component. But the main point I wanted to discuss today and this week is another very interesting Mishnah, a Mishnah from Thursday. And this is Perek Zayin Mishnah Aleph. And the Mishnah says as follows. It says, Kol zayis sheyish lo shem basode. Any zayis over here, zayis can mean an olive, but or an olive tree over here means a tree. So any olive tree that has a shem basode, that has a name in the field, afil kazeis natofa bishaso, even if it's dripping a lot at its time with oil, ushchacho, if he forgets it, eino shicha. It's not considered shicha, right? Even though it looks like the owner passed over this olive tree, and it looks like he forgot about it, so you might think, oh wow, so now anybody can go, poor people can go and glean from this tree because the owner left it behind. So if it's a zayis that has a shame basada, that has a name in the field, then that's not the halacha. So what does this mean? So the Mishnah goes on to elaborate what it means by a name. But this is also something that we see, it looks like almost a theme in our parsha, this idea of the name, right? We have Hashem saying in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Beis, Re'ei karasi b'shem, b'tzalel ben Uri ben Chur, l'mate Yehuda. See that I've called or summoned or chosen Bishem with a name, Betsalab and Uri ben Hur. That there's something about the name, that I called him out by name. And then, of course, we see the name of Hashem, very, very significant later on in, I think it's Lamed Beis Pasukei, maybe Lamed Gimel Pasukei. No, actually, I think it's Lamed Aleph, closer to the end. Vayered Hashem be'adon ve'sezevi b'asham, as famously, Vayikra b'shem Hashem, and he called out b'shem Hashem. There are different ways to understand this phrase. Vayikra b'shem Hashem, he called out in the name of Hashem. Is it he called out in the, Hashem called out b'shem with the name, or is it that he called out in the name of Hashem? There's different ways to understand this, but again, this shame. And then Moshe says, or Hashem says, "Ki matzah sachin be'enai, you have found favor in my eyes. Ve'edacha b'shem, I will know you by name." And Moshe says, Hashem says again, "V'krasi b'shem Hashem, I will call out b'shem Hashem." So there's this theme of calling somebody b'shem, referring to this name, and that a name is not just, you know, something that we tag to somebody, but it's you know, different ways to understand it, but it's a reflection of somebody's essence. It's the idea of it could also be a reputation. A shame is an acknowledgement. Ve'adacha b'shem, I will know you by name. That it's something much deeper than just, you know, a tag. Now, if we take a look at our Mishnah, the Mishnah says, "Bamed dvar mumurim." What does this mean? What does it mean that we say b'shem? So the Mishnah continues. There are three types of things that might be b'shem: b'shmo, u'v'masav, u'mkomo. That if the tree has a name, like an actual name, like the superficial name that we said we weren't referring to before, but also u'v'masav, u'mkomo, or also if it has certain actions, certain qualities, or certain a certain location. And the Mishnah goes on to explain that if this tree is, this olive tree has a nickname, it's called either the Shifchoni or the Beishani, referring to you know, certain things about it, or it's known for producing a lot of olives or a lot of oil, or it has a specific location that's very noticeable. It's at the side of the fence or side of the gap or the, by the olive press. If there's something unique about this, that it has a shame, it has a reputation, then we can rest assured that the owner, just because he didn't glean from it right now, he didn't harvest or whatever you call it, taking off the olives off the tree now, he's going to come back for it because this tree has a shame. And then it says, "Ushar kol azesim shnayim shecha shlosha eino shecha." But other trees, regular trees, so then it's just based on the number of trees. If there's two by themselves, then you could assume that they're forgotten. Three, he wouldn't forget. But one of these trees with a shame, like the shame of a shame of Betzalel, the shame of Moshe, the shame of Hashem, that there's this something much, much deeper, right? It could just be the name tag, you know, something that we call it, but it could be something that's much deeper, and that definitely is a theme. But to end on one, I think, important, beautiful point, maybe a more midrashic understanding of this Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi argues, Rabbi Yossi Omer, ein shecha lazesim. Rabbi Yossi says there is no forgetting when it comes to zesim, when it comes to olive trees. So he seems to be arguing on the Tanakhama that it doesn't just need to be if it's a particularly special tree, but olive trees in general, there is no shikha, this law does not apply. And Rabbi Bartanur explains that this is, this Rabbi Yossi is referring to a particular tekufa, during the times of Adrianus, of Hadrian, and he was very destructive in Israel, and he destroyed many olive trees, and there was a shortage. So, you know, when there's a shortage, then everything becomes much more valuable, and especially if there's a shortage of olive trees, so olive trees are much more valuable, and even if there's an olive tree that's left behind, looks like it was forgotten, we assume it's not forgotten. That's how Rabbi Yossi understands it. But I want to explain this in a little bit of a midrashic way, in accordance with a midrash that we actually had on last week's Parshas Tetzaveh. And the midrash says, and this is in Midrash Rabbah, and Midrash Rabbah in Shmos Rabbah in particular, Lamed Vav Aleph, and it's that Yirmiyahu compares Klal Yisrael to olives, And he says that the reason for this, that the main point of connection is that just as an Olive goes through a beating, and the Midrash describes in many steps the beating that Olives go through, so does Klal Yisrael go through a beating before they do tshuva and bring out this Shemen Zayazach, this pure oil, after they go through a significant beating. And I think we can understand this Mishnah also in this light, pardon that pun, that this idea that the Zaysim are not forgotten. What's this whole idea of the Zayas not having Shechem? Like, it looks like it was forgotten. Why is it not? So the explanation for what's going on in this Mishnah is that if something is very important, so even if it looks like it's forgotten or it's temporarily forgotten, it's not actually forgotten. It might look like it at the moment, but if something is important, it's not really forgotten. And that's you know, in general how people who care about the Ratzon Hashem, if you care about Ratzon Hashem, then even if it looks for a moment like you forgot, you didn't really forget. There's no shticha. That's not the case. Even sometimes when it looks like Hashem forgets, and the Gemara discusses this such a thing. It has, you know, back and forth of, is there any forgetting before Hashem? And Hashem says, I don't really forget. Even sometimes it looks like Hashem forgot, but he doesn't forget. But especially when it comes to Zaysin, when it comes to olive trees. So Rabbi Yossi says, no, you might just think, the Tanakhama says, if there's a special shame, if there's a special quality to somebody, then Hashem, then ain't shecha. There's no shecha by this. There's no forgetting by this. Hashem remembers them. So maybe it's Batal who's called b'shem. Maybe it's Moshe who's called b'shem. So there's no forgetting by them. But maybe everybody else is not the case. Rabbi Yossi says no. Rabbi Yossi says all olive trees, and Klal Yisrael compared to olives, all olive trees, there's no shecha for them in general. They are not forgotten. Sometimes they need to go through a beating in order to bring them to a level of tshuva and shem and zayasach, but there's no, Hashem doesn't forget about them. And if you want to take a look at Rabbi Bar Chanura's explanation that during that what's Rabbi Yossi referring to, that all olives are you know, there's no shikha, this doesn't apply to olive trees. He says specifically during the time of Hadrianic persecution and destruction, that's when it's referring to. So that actually is the beating process that one part of the beating process of Jewish history that we went through is the suffering at the hands of Hadrian. And Davka then, Rabbi Yossi tells us, there's no shikha by olive trees. That Hashem doesn't forget about Klal Yisrael. We're important to him, and sometimes it looks like it's shikha, but the owner is really very mindful, and he cares about us, and he values us, and you know, will ultimately come back for us. And Yitzchak Hashem, he will come back for us very, very soon with the Bias Kol Tzedek. Have a beautiful Shabbos.